But you have about 5 weeks or so before the primary, and joining us right now, talk a little Texas politics, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, GOP strategist Matt Mikowiak. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And
sure.
Hope you had a good weekend. And we're taking a look at a pretty busy, it looks like, a weekend as far as news goes with Abbott and Wendy Davis, and they're still going back and forth, now about education, correct?
Yeah. I think the Davis campaign's interested in trying to turn the page away from the really tough week they had. So many questions about her narrative and her bio and sort of this video that James O'Keefe and Project Veritas put out showing a number of Valley on Texas aides speaking sort of personally and negatively about Greg Abbott and his disability. So they're trying to get it back to policy. And what's interesting is, listen, I think Abbott wants to talk about policy too. I mean, he spent the last 4 or 5 weeks doing education town halls and sort of policy meetings with folks around the state. He's been to 10 or 15 different cities, specifically on a tour, talking to people about education and ways to improve education in Texas. So this is going to be a big issue in the race, is education. I mean, Wendy's going to make the argument that we're not spending enough money in public education, that Republicans are cut funding for public education. I hope and expect that General Abbott will make the case for school choice, competition, and closing failing schools and merit pay for teachers. I mean, a lot of sort of, competition and free market principles in education. I presume that's what he'll do. So education will be a big issue in the campaign.
As far as the Wendy Davis week that she had, which was an awful week, if you're just looking at it from the outside, awful week for Wendy Davis, is there a way that could backfire on the Republicans and on Greg Abbott? Not where he's going to lose the election over it, but backfire to, the idea that, here's Republicans again beating up on a woman. You've already seen articles that say that, Wendy Davis, this never would have happened. If she was a man, the story never would have come out. Do you think this backfires in any way?
I don't see that because this was a Dallas Morning News that did the story. And Wayne Slater, the reporter, has gone on record saying he had no conversations with the Abbott campaign and no conversations with the Davis campaign about the story until he started reporting it. So, I just think, if the Abbott campaign had sort of, made these charges themselves and had been negative about it, they didn't do anything. They sat back and let this thing happen, and the Davis campaign made it worse by, number one, sort of going into a cave for 3 or 4 days and not doing anything about it, and then number two, not being honest and saying, listen, I did make some mistakes here, and I described some things in my past and my background inaccurately, and I apologize for that. If you don't, if you say something that's not true and you don't admit it and apologize for it, it's hard for people to move beyond it. And so it was a very damaging week. I think that Davis is now a little bit of a flawed candidate and a flawed messenger. And it's just, her narrative and her story was going to be such a positive. And now it's clear that there's a cloud that hangs over it because there's not a lot of clarity about exactly what she did, when it happened, what her motives were. And what it says, but most importantly, what it says about her character and sort of the major decisions she's made in her life and what it says about who she is and what kind of leader she'd be for Texas.
This question has been brought up to me by a few people out there that Davis, obviously a flawed candidate, and not, probably if Democrats could have picked their number one person, it probably would not have been Wendy Davis to run as governor. Do you think this, because of the flawed narrative, because of the as some people view them, the lies that she had about her personal story and the fact that, her education plan, she has no details on that, how much it's going to cost. Folks
right.
Like even Paul Burka saying that this campaign isn't ready. Do you think this sets Battleground Texas back any?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I've said all along, Chad, I think we've talked in the past about how I always felt like Battleground was going to have a major challenge because if they don't show, it's not just about increasing the vote share along the margins or getting a lot of volunteers signed up. I mean, those are helpful metrics, but they're not the thing that people donate for. People donate because they want to see them, on that side of the aisle, because they want to see Democrats win elections. So if they go this cycle without winning a statewide election, which I think is the overwhelming likely scenario, they're then going to go into 2016. And if you're Hillary, I don't know why you invest in Texas when they were unable to move the ball forward any major way in 2014. And so Battleground's likely going to go through 4 years without having any major successes. And so the question is, you know, can they sustain it? Can they still get major donors on board? Can they still, you know, be active? I do think that the impact, the net impact of this for Davis is this puts a very hard, low ceiling on her vote. I mean, the ramifications of this are that she is going to be topped out, I think, at 45 or 46%, and that's a best-case scenario. I also think the other ramification here is that her fundraising is going to be impacted in the next report. And that's because, you know, she was on a positive, you know, trajectory with the media, you know, being spoon-fed this $12 million fundraising figure. It was really $8.5 million, but, you know, she was able to convince people she'd raised more than Abbott. That surprised a lot of people, got her some national attention. She's been on the ropes since then, playing defense, not looking like she's ready for prime time, not looking like she has a competent campaign. And that impacts morale and fundraising. You start to have a circular firing squad internally. So my guess is it was a very, very, very challenging week for the campaign internally. And so the question is, where do they go from here? They probably try to, you know, pivot back to policy, but I don't think they're ready to start rolling out policy yet because I don't think they've fully developed it yet.
Visiting with Matt Bukowiak. Matt, before we talk about what's on the website today, there's a lieutenant governor debate this evening. How much are you going to be paying attention to that? How, you know, obviously the everyday Texan out there probably won't be tuning in. I mean, you've got to be really invested in order to watch a lieutenant governor's debate. But how important is this debate for these candidates?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think when you have four candidates, all of whom have over $1 million raised, you know, they're trying like hell to sort of, you know, find a storyline, find, you know, some momentum, find something they can use. So these kinds of moments are important because, you know, who will be paying attention? The press. Folks that are covering the race across the state. In fact, this debate, I believe, airs on PBS affiliates across the state in 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 markets, including in Dallas. And I presume, is it on in Lubbock?
Yeah, we'll be airing it here on this station, yeah.
Yeah, you're even on that station. So, I mean, it's airing all over the state. So for a lot of people, yeah, these guys have been on TV with TV ads, but they haven't had sort of a back and forth in sort of a high-profile way. This is the highest-profile moment for those candidates. And so it's going to be a question of, you know, who performs well? Are there any gaffes? Does anybody make a mistake that can be used in a TV ad against them? Does anything here change the trajectory of the race? And what does it mean for the you know, the end game of who gets in the runoff? Is it Dewhurst and Dan Patrick, which I think is probably the most likely scenario right now? Does Todd Staples find a way in there and finish second and push somebody to third? And does Jerry Patterson, you know, catch fire? I think he is someone who understands the base and can communicate conservatism effectively. So I think a lot of people are going to pay attention to this, whether it's a huge TV audience or not, I probably doubt. But I do think it can have an impact on the campaign.
Matt, what can people find on mustreadtexas.com today?
Yeah, we updated it a little bit over the weekend, so we've got a lot of good stuff up there. The two things I'd point out is, you know, Steve Stockman has been sort of MIA in this Senate campaign the last couple of days. There were reports that he was in Russia over the weekend meeting with Vladimir Putin, so keep your eye on that. The other thing is there's a profile in the Politico magazine of George P. Bush that's very much worth a read from Chris Hooks I think, towards the top of our page. You can find the top news, editorials, columns, and blog items from across Texas on the left and the right and right down the middle on mustreadtexas.com.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chad. Take care.
That's Matt Bukowiak. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Matt Bukowiak. And yes, that Texas Republican Lieutenant Governor debate tonight at 8 o'clock here on News Talk 790 KFYO. You can hear that live. We'll be right back.